everyone, and welcome back to Surviving Me, the space where survival meets self-discovery. I'm your host, Day, and today's conversation is one I think so many people are going to connect with, especially anyone who has ever felt disconnected from their body, overwhelmed by their health journey, or stuck believing that healing was out of reach. Today, we're talking about wellness, transformation, discipline, mindset, and what it means to reclaim your life when you spent years navigating challenges that shaped the way you saw yourself. Joining me today is Karen Zuzu, what she likes to be called Zuzu, someone whose healing journey led her into holistic wellness, nutrition, community work, and helping others reconnect with themselves in deeper ways. This conversation isn't about perfection. It's about listening to your body, learning yourself again, and discovering what healing could look like beyond survival mode. So let's get into it. Before we start, first, thank you so much for being here today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, you did a great job.
Yes, I'm so glad I'm here.
I go by Zuzu only because my name is Karen and I really love my nickname. But, you know, when the whole Karen thing came out, I was like, I think I'll always use my nickname now. So anyhow, we just love teaching. We love educating. That's the main thing that we do at Holistic Health Educators, which is our online platform for natural healing education. And I think it's just a time that we're here to inspire people because there's so much despair and there's so many things that are negative right now in the world, not just in health and with politics, but just in life. We have all these kids not talking to their parents anymore and parents being weird and grandparents, you know, losing their grandkids. And like, there's just so much animosity towards, you know, being right and or wrong. And I think I think a lot of that comes from our liver. Our liver is a chemical factory and it is manufacturing chemicals all the time from whatever we're eating. And it's also trying to hide the chemicals from our body. It's trying to, so we get fatty liver, we get toxins hidden in adipose tissue just so we can get through the day. A lot of people don't realize the liver that vibrates at the same frequency as anger. And so when people are really angry, you can just ask them, hey, liver's going on, you're probably constipated. Like, it's always the same thing, you know? So like, if you ever have someone who's really mad all the time, I can pretty much guarantee they're constipated. You know, just like people who are always grieving, and they're always coughing, you know, and people who are always irritable or irritated, they've got usually kidney issues and adrenal gland issues. It's just how our body vibrates. So man, if we could clean up our food, we would get rid of some of this anger we carry around us. You know, if we just cleaned our livers and we just started loving on people again, wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great? Yes, it really would. I'm so here for that. I say that all the time. I say the world needs more caring people. The world needs more people who care. And just coming together. I just think there's not enough togetherness in this world today, for sure.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that.
I agree with you. And it's painful. It's painful to see and experience. But at the same time, we got a lot of people that are turning into light. They want more information. They don't believe everything they're told anymore. So this is good. You know, we got that going on too.
Yes, agreed. So thank you for that beautiful introduction and getting into that, because I don't think I knew that much about the liver, but I'm excited to get into it. So if we jump into the first question, it would be for people discovering you for the first time, who is Zuzu outside of wellness and healing work?
Well, I have raised a lot of children, so I have learned a lot of life lessons. I had 7 of my own and 3 stepchildren, and we adopted a child, and one of my students left me a child who's become very, very close to all of us. So I've had a wide range. One thing I love is loud music. I love loud music. And maybe that's because I love to drown out anything if I, you know, just want peace, but I really love music. And it's good music. Like, I don't mind if it's good old 80s or 70s, you know, or current stuff or Christian stuff. I don't care what it is. I just like music and I like it loud. So even today, when my grown kids get in the car with me, I like crank up my music and they turn it down. So it's been like that my whole life. I used to sing. I even sang in New York and I did some fun things. That was before I had children and I went from a soprano to an alto, but that's okay. I got pulled over one time because my twins were about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months old. And I had my little 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old with me. And I got pulled over by the cops because some truck driver saw herbs in the back of my hatchback and pulled me over. They pulled me over for like drug smuggling. But of course it was oregano and raspberry leaf, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know. There you have it. No one's ever asked that before. So now you got a few funny things.
Wow. First and foremost, I love that because I am a person who believes like music is the key to my soul. So like hearing you say that, I totally agree. Like, I don't know. It's just something about music. It just takes me to a whole different space. So yeah, I'm here for that. I totally agree with that. And that was pretty funny about the whole getting pulled over thing.
You just never know, you know.
Yeah, that is very true. So something I admire about your story is that your healing journey didn't start from curiosity. It started from lived experience. So what part of your childhood shaped the woman you are today?
Well, probably all of it. I mean, I did have epilepsy growing up. I'd have seizures. I was taking 3 different medications and I didn't know anything about side effects. My parents probably didn't know anything about side effects, but you know, there were side effects. I got sad at times. I spent a lot of time visiting an older gentleman, just to be on the property. And you know, it's okay. I got over that. I was a happy person. I just had a lot of fun. I was still musically inclined and acted and just had fun with life. And the hardest part was like when I would go in for my EKGs, my mom worked. And so she'd have to take me right back to school. But then like, I smelled like alcohol and all these chemicals that were on my skin and my brain. And when I was at the school dances, if they started doing all the fun lights, I had to step outside because you can't be by blinking lights. I reversed it in my early 20s. I was like, wait a minute, there's got to be an answer because I don't want to be on medication anymore. And I don't want to be on medication when I start having children. That just didn't feel right. I had my first green drink. I started kind of getting into health in college, actually 40 years ago. I know that dates me, but I'm 58. And so 40 years ago, I just kind of started on that journey. And when I was able to get off all my medication and not have any seizures, that was incredible. And then that just kind of sparked my curiosity. So when anybody got sick, I'd like do all this research. And it's before the World Wide Web. Like we didn't have AI or World Wide Web or any of that. And so it was just a lot of study. Then I just jumped into it. And, you know, I started creating courses and classes and opened a wellness center, then opened a second one, opened up cafes and grocery stores. And it was really fun. It's been an incredible journey. That beginning of not having the answers and just wanting answers is really kind of where it all started.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I am a person that believes like everything has to make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, there's a reason for it. So I totally get that. So what was it like growing up while navigating epilepsy at a young age? The first question should be, what age were you diagnosed with epilepsy?
I was diagnosed at age 12, but I started having seizures in elementary school. And it actually started after a young man, a young kid threw a block of ice at me and hit me in the head.
Wow.
And it was shortly after that that I started having seizures. And I had the first one on a bus and I didn't know what it was. I went home and told my mom. And for the next couple of years, I would have these seizures, but she had never seen one. I would have it like at school or outside or on the bus. So we just thought I was sleeping funny, you know, so we'd prop up different pillows and get a water bed. Like we just tried everything. That ended up being what it was epilepsy. And then I took a bell with me, like because I would know I was going to have a seizure about 30 seconds before I had a seizure. So those are called auras. So I'd ring a bell and then I would have a seizure. So I always tease. It was really fun on a date, you know, but I ring the bell and I have a seizure, you know, but I'm pretty resilient. It is what it is. Like, what do you do? Complain?
Right.
Play victim? I'm not a victim. When people go into victim mode, I shake them to pieces until, okay, get out of victim, you know?
No, for real.
It's okay. We can move forward, you know?
Yes. Yes. Agreed. Agreed. I do not like the victim thing either because, I mean, why would you want to be like, I don't know. Me and pity don't go together. Like, I hate for anybody to pity me. Like, don't pity me. So, yes, I totally get this.
Yes. 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 So, yes.
How did being on medication long-term affect the way you had viewed yourself at the time?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. I mean, I guess as a kid, it was a little embarrassing. I had to take these 3 bottles with me anywhere I went. And it definitely had side effects. You can read about it. And now I'm old enough, I can go back and read about the side effects. So I can understand that. But I think it probably was more that. And I will tell you, because I was on medication, I didn't ever drink. Like, I never drank. I never drank alcohol. So when I started going to college, I didn't drink and I had a good reason, which is great. So, you know, the upside is I never got into all that. That was never my lifestyle, which has probably saved me a bunch of headache.
Yes.
So that's probably the upside of it. But it was definitely different. It was definitely different.
I totally could understand that for sure. So did your health struggles ever affect the way you connected with other people or moved through relationships?
You know, I can't remember back then. I do remember, like, I also had then scoliosis, and I didn't know I had the scoliosis until I was in college. And I had bent down to pick something up, and I actually couldn't get back up. And so I like crawled into my college dorm room and called my roommate, who came home to take me to the chiropractor, and we took some x-rays, and boom, it was all over. So then I lived with scoliosis from that time until really literally about 6 or 7 years ago is when I actually reversed scoliosis. I have before and after x-rays that show it. But for me, especially after the epilepsy, when I realized, hey, I can help reverse this, even though I had scoliosis, and it affected me when I carried, you know, I carried my children around and I couldn't lift a lot. And I would, if I did lift the wrong way, I was out for a week or two with my back. But then now I haven't been because I reversed my scoliosis. And so I think it did nothing but determine me to find more answers. And so when people would get sick, you know, when I was younger, after I had reversed epilepsy, it was a driver. Well, why do you have heart disease? Well, why do you have cancer? Cancer, let me learn anything about cancer. So I think it was just always I use those things as a driver. That was just my personality type, but I felt more driven.
Got it. So you would say that your health struggles kind of drove you to more people and just trying to figure out like, oh, why this and why that?
And then when they had problems and I would study it, just need to find answers and then help them, and they would get well. I was like, this is fun, you know, like, this is fun, you know, like, wow. And so like, then I became a practitioner and opened up my clinics, and now we get to help people all the time. We've helped so many people. And it's like, you can, I mean, type 2 diabetes is a choice. It really is. And don't take that the wrong way, anybody. Don't hang up, but you can easily get rid of it. I'm always worried people will get like all offended or something, I don't want to be offended. I want them inspired. Like if I've watched epilepsy, narcolepsy, MS, RA, all different types of cancers, Parkinson's, I've watched all this reverse. I've watched it all and I don't do anything. I just educate. And then boom, people make their changes and it's incredible. So I think I'm just inspired because I've been able to see so much over the last 20 some years. So I think it just keeps me driving and driving and learning more and more.
I agree. I think a lot of people underestimate how deeply health struggles can impact like confidence and identity and even the way you relate to others. So I think that's beautiful that you took your own struggles and turned it into a way to help others. Like, that is amazing.
Well, you know, I teach the drama cycle, you know, and you can live in victimhood or you can live as the hero for everybody else's story, but that's still in drama, or you can be a villain. And I don't want to be any of that. I don't want to be a villain. I don't want to be a hero. I don't want to be a victim. I want to step out of drama. And I think that even though finding answers for people, you could become like a hero. I'm not a hero. Mm-hmm. I'm an educational speaker. It's what I do. I mean, I have letters after my name and those are all fun and impressive, but what really matters is if we can help people understand how the human body works, if we can help them understand digestion and how the nervous system functions and the endocrine system, and make it simple and easy, people are going to change their lives because people want to be well. People don't want to stay sick. People don't want brain fog. Well, guess what? You can get rid of it. People don't want yeast infections and UTIs and all these issues. People don't want that.
No, they don't.
Who wants to live sick? Give me a break. I have this saying, you've probably seen it or heard it, but a healthy man has many wishes. A sick man has one. And it's so true. A healthy woman has many wishes. A sick woman has one to get well. Let's keep us healthy so we can keep living a full life.
Yes. Agreed. That was beautifully said. That was so beautifully said. So at some point, something shifted for you. So what first sparked your curiosity about holistic healing and nutrition?
Oh, I think that was when, even though I had had green drinks and that was fun, I think what really happened is after my first baby was born, she had clogged in tear ducts. And so they wanted to do surgery and she was young, whatever, a few months old. They were taking her back for her surgery. And the doctor told me, we're going to put tubes in her ears right away because we know she'll need them. And I was like, oh, no, you're not. I don't know what that is, but you ain't putting no crap in my child's ears. You're not putting no tubes nowhere. You know, it's like, I was adamant, you know, I was like, no. And I think that's what did it because she had the surgery and she came home. And then maybe a year or two later, she had her first ear infection. And I remember them saying that. And I was like, mm-mm. And that's when I found homeopathy. So that's really when it happened. And then I used homeopathy exclusively for the first 12 years of having children and raising kids. And then I started getting into herbs and I started teaching herb classes at my church. And I started teaching classes on essential oils and then cooking. I love cooking. I love, love, love being in the kitchen. Actually, we're having a cooking class immediately after this call with you. And all of it's done. I just made a huge entrees for like 50 people that are dairy-free, gluten-free, and sugar-free, and it's lasagna, and it's just amazing food. People don't realize you can make amazing food without some of the toxins that can cause issues in the body. So anyhow, so I had a lot of cooking classes. One cooking class, I was teaching people how to make homemade bread, and people would come from all over, like 4 hours. They would come drive to our cooking classes, and we stayed up until like 2 or 3 in the morning baking bread because so many people came. And so, and I had it all in, I bought an old Catholic church building and an old Catholic rectory and an old Catholic school. And under the church, there was a huge like reception area. And that's where we did all baking. And I had all these ovens rolling. It was hysterical. It was so much fun. I think, isn't it fun just being together? You know, whether you're doing hair or cooking or just being silly, community is everything. And we're losing community because people are like freaked out because they're afraid to go out of their house sometimes. Or they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, would you stop listening to AI? Like half the time it's wrong. Please, people who are listening, don't trust AI when it comes to your health. Oh my gosh, it's crazy out there. But anyhow, but like we're getting away from community and we're judging everybody so much that people just can't be themselves anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think we should get back to cooking together and get back to loving each other.
Yes, agreed. That's literally the mission of this podcast. Like I say, healing does not need to be done alone. Like you don't have to do things alone. It's so much beauty in doing things together. I truly believe that. Yes. I live by that. I stand by that. So yes, I'm for that. So what did you discover about yourself once you started taking control of your healing journey?
That I could do it. I think that's probably, I learned this phrase years ago, where focus goes, energy flows. And I still have to remind myself of that, you know, like where focus goes, energy flows. And if we're focused on negativity and we're focused on whatever that is, you know, we're going to be feeding that with energy. And for me, when I started healing, that was my focus. My focus was I'm going to get rid of scoliosis. I'm going to get rid of epilepsy. I'm going to find an answer for cancer for my friends, or I'm going to find what causes ear infection. I'm going to find what causes, you know, heart palpitations. So one of my relatives never has to live with AFib again, and they don't. So I think that driver of just there's answers and I want to know them and being focused, that has probably been my biggest takeaway through all this, is that it's true. Where focus goes, energy flows. And so that's probably the biggest driver.
I love that. Because healing really does force you to meet yourself in a different way. It really do.
And like no one's got it easy. We all have struggles. So in 22, I found myself single. I had left the church that I had raised my family in. And so I lost some of my family and actually my husband, but that's okay. Moving on. So I bought this awesome 33-foot RV, and I wrapped it in like organs, glands, and tissues. It looks super cool. It's a cool vehicle wrap. And I drove all around the country. Oh, you have to, honey. I think I have it on my Facebook page. But I drove around the country looking for where to open up a retreat center. So I bought this 69-acre piece of land with two of my daughters, and we've opened up this Lily Fields Retreat Center. And it has been an incredible amount of work, like so much work. But I'm still driven because I know what happens when people come here for retreats. It's just so amazing. And I know that we'll get the dome houses and the oppie houses and all the gardens up and running. Like, I know the people are going to come. But it's still, you have to be focused and driven. And I find if I'm not driven, or if I'm losing focus, then things don't get done as well. So it's really true. Like where we put our focus is where all of our energy is going to go. And if we don't focus, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yes. That was perfectly said. Yes. And I like that model that you live by. I never heard it, but I like it.
Good. Well, my other motto is I love your guts. I tell that to millions of people. I love your guts. I say it all the time. I really do. I love guts. I love the body. You know, I love teaching you how the guts work. It's just fun, you know.
Oh my God, you sound like my mom. My mom is like this. She's like, I just love the human body. It's so fascinating. And this,
yes, mom.
Yeah. That's how she feels about the human body. So she will be here for that. So one thing I appreciate about your story is that you didn't stop at healing for yourself. You turned it into something that helps other people too. So what daily habits became the foundation of your healing journey?
The daily habits. Oh, living it. Oh my goodness. Let me preach to you this, honey. I'm telling you, because I do what I do, and I'm a pretty big name, you know, I speak internationally all the time, but I know a lot of big people. So I know them. I had a big center in like Utah, United States of America. There's a lot of people in Utah that are big, you know, and I am telling you, I know them, and they don't live their lifestyle. They preach it, and they might have, there's a guy, I can't mention his name, but everybody's heard of him. He's got all these books on health. I know him. I know what he does behind closed doors. And I'm telling you, so for me, watching all that happen with all these different people, I was like, I am going to live this. I am never going to be hypocritical. I'm going to live it with so much integrity that if anybody comes to my home, they can open my fridge and they'll see it, that this is what I live. This is what I do. So I exercise. I can't say I meditate, because sitting that long just for me is not appealing. My meditation is more like singing while I'm outside taking a walk or listening to music while I'm walking, you know, but like I focused on the things I did for me, my daily habits where I lived it. So I did drink I still do drink 2 quarts of water by 2. And I avoid a lot of acidic food. And I do eat more living food than dead food. And I, you know, so I avoid dairy and I avoid a lot of grain. I do these things because I teach them and I want to live them. So for me, the healthy habits were living what you are reading and what you're learning and what you believe. And it wasn't always like that. Like, I mean, hello, when I got married, when I was like 21, I thought I would put squares of cheese on all my, you know, casseroles, you know, I thought that was great. But then when I studied dairy and I saw what it does to the human body, I'm like, wait a minute, that was meant for a cow. And I don't mind. Everybody, don't worry. Don't freak out. I would please give up the wet nurse, but you can still go get some raw cheese once in a while, like do whatever you want to do. But for me, because I learned what it was doing internally in the body, I just chose not to do it. So I think the best thing all of us could do is if we believe in a principle, live it. You know, if you believe in loving others, then start loving them and stop gossiping. You know, if you believe in fairness, then be fair. If you believe in apologizing and getting rid of your ego, well, then get your ego off of you, you know, and apologize to someone. Like, I think we don't always live what we believe. And that is hard. It's hard because it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to say you're sorry. Sometimes it's hard to let somebody go that is just not, you know, meshing with you beautifully. And I had to do that. And that's not ever easy to do. Like, you know, but we have to live our principles. And then we need to surround ourselves, especially in your workplace, with people that emanate those same principles. And so, oh, a cool thing. You're going to love this one. I was writing my first book when I kept a notepad with me everywhere I went because I was kept getting downloads, you know, God would be like, hey, put this in there, you know? So anyhow, so I was like doing this yoga pose. I'm in like downward dog and I'm breathing early in the morning and clear as day, I was writing my cancer section. I hear cancer is not just inside of you. It's sitting next to you. I was like, yes. We are surrounded by toxic people and then we get sick, you know, like we have to actually be aware of what's causing the cancer. What is causing you to have heart failure? What is causing you to be depressed? And it's not just if you're feeling sick and you're feeling betrayed and you're feeling whatever you're feeling, who is around you who's betraying you? Who around you is making you feel sick to your stomach? Mm-hmm. You got to realize it, that their vibrational frequency is affecting your vibrational frequency. My vibrational frequency is affecting yours. You're affecting me. We affect our plant. Our plants pick up on all of it. There's some really great studies out there showing that if you climax with your spouse and you are 400 miles away from your house, your plants in your bedroom will go crazy because they are that attached to you. It's called entanglement and it's not made up. It's real. I bet you didn't think you'd hear that today.
No, I really didn't. But that was something that is very interesting. OMG.
Yeah, hey. It is. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that because that was intriguing. I'm not even going to hold you. That was very intriguing. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, one of the books you would love is called The Secret Life of Plants but there's many books like that. And like, we don't realize how connected we are to the earth. Like when we walk barefoot, and you guys, I challenge all of you to do this. Go outside and walk barefoot. And if you walk barefoot throughout the summer, the next year, you are going to have herbs. Some people will call them weeds. Don't say that. They're not weeds. You will have herbs coming out of the ground that your body needs 100%. This is absolutely amazing. I have story after story after story to show this, but you are connected with the earth. We were meant to be connected from the earth, right? Yes. Aren't we from the dust and we're going back to the dust? We weren't meant to walk around in plastic and then run around in plastic, you know, rubber tires and then live in a house and not touch the earth. And we weren't meant for that. But it's so cool because even trees are connected by what's called mycelium. Mushrooms are just fruit, by the way. Mushrooms are fruit of the mycelium. And the mycelium actually covers the entire earth. It goes under every tree, all the rivers, the oceans. It connects the, I call it the worldwide wood. That mycelium, if there are three oak trees in a row and one oak tree is sick and starting to die, the other trees will literally send nutrients to the dying oak tree or the suffering tree through the mycelium. Sometimes they'll live, sometimes they won't, but they actually send it. You can track it. And if there's a deer in the woods and the deer is nibbling on leaves or any other predator, the plants, the trees will actually communicate with the other trees through chemicals they release from the bark and from the leaves, and the leaves of the other trees downstream or downwind will produce a chemical toxin that scares the deer away. Wow. I am not kidding. We are so connected. It's the coolest thing.
No, that is amazing. And honestly, I am a person who tends to walk barefoot a lot, like even outside. And everybody always be like, where is your shoes? Why you don't have no shoes on? And then my son, because I be walking barefoot, I don't be thinking to put him on shoes. So he tends to walk barefoot a lot outside too. And it's just so funny that everybody always be like, where's your shoes? And I'm just like, we feel the most comfortable like this. Okay.
Yes. So go look at your herbs that are popping up and research them. I literally just got a phone call from a good friend, really good friend of mine. And her husband, I'm sure he thought I was nuts when he first met me, but then he doesn't because I'm very well educated. Anyhow, so he talked to her. It was like 2 weeks ago. He had gotten hurt and he was in a lot of pain. And one of the first days he got up and he could walk around the yard, they have like 5 acres, he found a bunch of prickly lettuce. And so he picked it and he started nibbling on it. He's like, oh my gosh, my pain went away. So he gets into the house and he's like, Vanessa, he's like, I got to research this plant. And they did this research. And yes, it's incredible for pain. So they went outside and picked all of it, you know, and they're making teas. And I'm like, it is true. And we have so many stories like that. Yeah. So it'd be fun for you to go and just check out what's going on outside and see what the earth is giving you.
Definitely going to do that. So how has food changed from being something you consume to something you intentionally use?
Oh, what a good question. Well, I think awareness. A lot of people just eat. They just go through a drive-through and they eat. You know, they actually think the government or the FDA care about their health, which is, hello, there's no money in healthy people. I'm 58 years old, haven't been to a doctor for 23 years. There's no money. And my kids never went to doctors except for one of them. But like, there's no money in healthy people. There isn't. And so we have to become aware that no one is watching or caring what you eat. The standard American diet, which used to be a very, very screwed up pyramid, was completely wrong. We were never meant to eat that kind of grain, or we just weren't. So it becomes something you're eating. So most of you are just eating, you know, you run through a coffee shop and you grab a donut and you grab some salad and you grab whatever you're eating, you know, burgers and chickens and whatnot. But if we actually looked at our health of our bodies and we have any issues at all, we have to go, well, what made my body? Well, we are only made of minerals and vitamins and amino acids and, you know, polysaccharides and biophotons and fats. All of those come from food. We are literally what we eat. And so if we have an anger issue, anything at all, if we can't sleep, it doesn't matter what's going on in the body. 100% of issues are a mineral deficiency. There's something missing. And then there's a cofactor to the mineral. So that's most likely missing. Like a lot of people can't absorb iron because they're low in vitamin C or copper. You need those. Like, so there's just an awareness. So I think the awareness of, wait a minute, I don't feel well. Why do I feel like crap? Why do I have cancer? Why do I have MS? Why do I have Parkinson's? All things you can get rid of. Why do I have those things? Well, I have to look at what did I eat? So Robert Kennedy Jr., I don't care what anybody thinks about politics, because I'm not thrilled with our current administration at all. But I am telling you that, and there's no one who is, by the way, just to get your heads out of the cloud. No one is thrilled with this. So just so you all know. But I will say, phenomenal bringing seed oils to their place, which is the toilet, right? Phenomenal at getting seed oils out of our diet and food colorings, right? I love him. I love how spot on he is with so much, not everything, about how the body works for health reasons. And so at least there's more awareness. So I think it went from eating just because we want to eat to being aware that, oh, I have type 2 diabetes. That means I don't have enough chromium. I have too much sugar in my bloodstream and I'm not making enough insulin. Check. That was, here's my button. Here's my favorite button.
That was easy.
There we go. My that was easy button.
That was easy.
I love that thing. But anyhow, so I like, we have to realize that we need to take responsibility for creating the environment that we're in physically.
Agreed. So would you say that discipline played a huge role in maintaining your wellness?
Oh, wow. That's such a scary word. I guess so. But don't consider it scary. I had a desire. Maybe we should change it to desire. Like yes. You know what I wanted when I first started like getting into this, when Jenna was just born and I was just starting to, you know, really get into health 40 years ago, I thought to myself, I want to live this way. And this is exactly what I thought. I want to live this way. So when I'm old, like 50, okay, I'm like 58, I'm not old. But when I'm old, like, you know, 50 or 60, then I can stand on a stage and I can say, hey, it works. And I'm on stages quite a bit. And I was just on a big stage a couple months ago. And I stood there and it just hit me. I was like, wait a minute. And there's hundreds of people there. And I was like, this works. I went through menopause, didn't even know it. Not a single hot flash years ago. I have never had a problem with lubrication. And I say that out loud because a lot of women think they're going to have all these issues with their sex life because they're going through menopause. No, you aren't. If you are eating well, you are not going to experience those things. You're made to make love until the day you die 120 years later. Like you are made and designed for this, honey. And so these poor men, I have 18-year-old men coming to me with ED. Erectile dysfunction at age 18? What the hell is going on with our circulatory system, right?
Real.
So many men. They don't wake up with woodies anymore. They don't wake up. They're not even hard when they wake up. And I'm being blunt about it because people need to hear this, that yes. this is a circulatory issue, everyone. And guess what? Milk is aiding that. So if you want to have great sex life, get off your dairy. But I'm just saying, like, people need to know. So yeah, living it has been amazing because I have this incredible journey that I can draw from and all these amazing people I've been to work with. So at Holistic Health Educators, which is our school, it's an online school for natural medicine. A third of our students are medical doctors are in my program, nurses, LPNs, chiropractors, dentists. They're in my program because we teach how the body works from a cell level and we teach alternative medicine. And so it's neat because it can be a 16-year-old anybody to a 78-year-old anybody who just wants to learn how the body works and help others to a medical professional. They all get the same education. And it's bridging Western medicine with Eastern medicine because Eastern medicine was removed from all of our education in the 1920s because the Flexner Report came out, which was authored and paid for by Rockefellers and Carnegie. And they made it when the Flexner Report was released, 80% minimum, 80% of all natural health was taken away out of every single hospital. Every single hospital in America had to get rid of 80% of all natural health, water therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, all of it. They had to leave it if they wanted to be part of the trial on new pharmaceutical oil-based, petroleum-based drugs. And guess what? We lost a lot of hospitals, and especially hospitals where we had Black doctors, because they're like, no, we're not doing that. Thank God there were still some people here. But we lost a lot of it. We lost a lot of our racial doctors, that divide, because of those ridiculous laws. It was absolutely terrible. And kudos for all of those who said, no, we're not going to do that. We're sticking with natural health because it is how it works. And because they were right. They were right to do that. They were right. It's terrible, isn't it?
It is.
It's sickening.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. Yep.
I totally agree with that. What's one wellness myth you wish more people would stop believing?
Just that you can't get well. I've watched everything. Like I said, I've watched so much reverse. And I have a video. I should pin this on my, I'll pin it on my Facebook page. I'm actually terrible with social media. I have someone flying here who's going to help me. I suck. I literally suck. But anyhow, I have this awesome video showing before and after one of our clinical retreats, the bloodstream. It is transformed. It is literally transformed from day one to day eight, just detoxing and eating well. Like, you can change your life in days and feel better when you change what you're eating and how you're eliminating. Most people think that you can poop every couple of days and you're fine. You need to have a bowel movement once to twice or three times a day. That's how often. If you aren't pooping once or twice a day minimum, you're constipated. And guess what? That poop goes right back into your bloodstream. And it's pretty hard for your heart to be pushing a bunch of stool in the bloodstream along with everything else that you might be eating. And so we really need to become aware of that. So yes. that's my answer. My answer would be that. The myth is that you can't get well. That's a complete myth. It's a complete myth.
And honestly, talking to you and just how passionate you are and just your energy, because I'm a person who is really big on energy. I can honestly feel your energy through the phone. Like, even though you're not next to me, I feel it. And it's just very liberating, very drawing, very like, oh, I want to feel this good. Like, I want to feel how you feel. I want to be as happy as you are.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
well,
so don't believe it. Don't believe the pills they're trying to give you. Like, don't believe all, you know, what is it called now? You're getting red pilled, right? You're getting like, we're waking up, you know, we're waking up. And so just wake up, everybody. Like, literally look at the funding on anything. Look at the funding. Don't believe everything you're reading or hearing. Like, just don't. Like, there's so much out. I should mention, we did put together mini courses for like on diabetes and sleep and cancer. And I don't know what else we have on there. I had my staff do that so that people could jump in and for like $50, they could learn at least a lot of something. So that is something that we do have on our websites, because we want people to know what's going on. We want people to understand their bodies.
Yes, more people do need to understand their bodies. I totally agree with that. So if we get into the last segment, which is the now. So when you look at your life now compared to when you started, I'm curious how your definition of wellness have evolved. So what does feeling healthy mean to you now compared to what it meant years ago?
Oh, that's actually a lot. When I started on my health journey, I was still grinding wheat and baking bread. Now I know that actually, you know, we have very long intestinal tracts. And that is because we are meant to eat vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds. That's what goes into anything, any living creature that has a long intestinal system, where a short intestinal system, like a lion, they are meant to eat meat. And they sit there, they eat meat, and then they go to bed for 20 hours, which is how most people feel after eating a very big meal of meat, right? Yes. Because it takes longer. You can all eat meat, don't care. But we eat too much of it. And so as society. And that doesn't mean you can't. I'll put people on a carnivore diet or a ketogenic diet if they're dealing with epilepsy or if they're dealing with Tourette's or they've got specific health issues. But long-term, that's never long-term. I think that I look at wellness as being aware of how the body works and what feeds all the different organs, because if you have kidney stones, you know, you can get rid of those with pretty easy kidney cleanses, eating watermelon for 3 days and taking kidney herbs. I've watched it over and over and over again. Like, so wellness to me is more using food as medicine now, instead of you are what you eat is great. That's a nice little line, but food actually is medicine. And if your body is saying don't eat, then don't eat. If your body is saying, hey, you need more salt, it could be because you're low in potassium and sodium. That's not working. Those channels aren't working. It's like, if your body is speaking, we need to start listening to it instead of just packing down. And no one is designed. No one's supposed to be eating 3 meals a day. I mean, I don't care if you do, but like, that's not how it technically should be. That's not how it was until like General Mills came along and decided to sell cereal to everybody for 3 meals a day. Like, it's just not. You know, historically, we would wake up and go work out in the field. And then we'd come in and have a really big lunch. That's when we eat the majority of our food, because it takes about 12 hours for our food to get to the liver. And that, so then when we're sleeping, the liver can process all of it. So having a really big meal for lunch and then something for dinner, that's great. I don't care if people eat 3 meals a day, but be more conscious about what they're putting into their body, because everything you eat is creating your health. And the big seed oil thing, we need to avoid seed oils, sunflower seeds, the canola oils, all the seed oils, because they actually create an immune system that's not healthy anymore. And people who are full of cancer, a lot of them have eaten seed oils, majority of their oils. And so people who get sick all the time, it can often be because they have a lot of seed oils, and oils create every membrane of every cell in the body. Like, we are, the membrane of our cell is lipid, water, lipid. So our 70 trillion, 50 trillion cells in our bodies are made of the fat we eat. And then our nervous system is made of the fat we eat. So if we have kids with ADD, ADHD, or autism, or anywhere on the spectrum, or anxiety, we have stress, we really do want to kind of clean up that diet a little bit more, because we're going to feel the difference. And again, no one's got to go out there and make all those changes at once, unless you're like type A and you can't wait. But being aware is like the first thing is becoming aware.
Yes. Yes. And that's with anything. Once you're aware of a problem or issue, that's how you get into solving it. You got to become aware first. That's literally the first step. So agree.
Yes.
So what brings you the most peace in this season of your life?
Well, that's funny. Peace. what is that? I think probably just being out in nature. Like, when I walk outside and go by the pond, and we've got a zillion geese here right now, probably 70. And we just came home from Tennessee, and there's a bunch of new babies running around as well. So all the nature that we have anywhere you are, I just find a lot of peace in nature. Because if you're in your office and you're in front of a computer and you're on your phone and you're aware of all the crap going on in the world and blah, blah, deadlines and emails that need to go out. It's like so much. And I love going outside. This morning was great. I put on my friend made a really pretty piece of music. It was just beautiful, instrumental. And so I popped it on and I just kept hitting replay and walking around the property. And I was like, this is peace. So for me, it's getting in nature and just listening, of course, to music. So you and I are friends. Like, we've got to get together and go for a walk and listen to music.
God, when I say that, I feel the most grounded when I am outside, or I start to realize that, like, if I'm upset or something, and if I just go outside, my whole entire mood changed, like, literally, just by going outside. And maybe I didn't do nothing, even if I'm just sitting out there, and I could sit out there for hours and just sit, read my book, and that is peace. Hearing a bird chirp is peace. Like,
My gosh, yes, it is. I have this little bird. There's this bird. I've named it Little Light. It's a songbird. And for people who don't live in an area where they have songbirds, it's like a mockingbird. It sings every song any bird makes, it makes. And so it sounds like it's all these different birds, but it's one little bird. And he has become so much of my friend that in the morning when I opened up the doors and I let all the cool air in, he will sit right outside the door and chirp and talk to me 4 inches away from me. He'll just sit there and talk and chirp. And sometimes during my podcast, I have my office door open. He's so loud because he's right out the window. I have to go close the door on him. I'm like, would you stop? I'm like trying to do a podcast. You know, you're obnoxious. People, I think the more you're in nature, the more you realize you're connected. And so these birds are connected, and your caterpillars are connected, and your lizards and your frogs and your hawks and your eagles and it's just, we're all connected. So don't try to separate yourself so much from everything, you know, relish it.
That was beautiful. That was beautifully said. Because yes, we are connected. We are all connected in many ways, more ways than one, than what people understand. We really are. Yes. So what part of your journey are you most proud of today?
I think I'm most proud of the fact that I've always tried to do what I felt God had put on my heart, so that I listened. I think that, because it's really easy to close off and get an ego and like do your own thing. And I've really tried to keep my heart open and my mind open, even though I have been impressed to do things I haven't understood. But then I do them and boom, it makes so much sense. Like, I did this, and I haven't ever shared this, what I'm going to share. I've not shared on any other podcast, by the way. And I've been doing this, I've been hundreds of them, but I actually was impressed years and years ago. I started handing out $20 bills, and that was a lot of money. I had a lot of kids. And so $20, that's that you can get a lot for $20, you know?
Yeah.
And I gave one out on accident once. I thought I was giving a $5 bill out, and I gave out the $20 bill to this home, some guy in Las Vegas, like the people you're not supposed to give money to, but I will. And then I went to this, like within that same trip, there was somebody looking for money for saving cats or something. And like, I gave another $20 bill out. Well, I started doing this, and all of a sudden everyone started paying me in $20 bills. Like literally, I would save all of my $20 bills. And at one point my daughter was getting married, and I had saved my $20 bills under my bed, and I took them out, and it was $3,000 of $20 bills. And I said to myself, okay, Lord, I know what you give, you get. And I know that if we pay and help others, you help us. So if it works for $20 bills, I'm going to try it with a $100 bill, which is a huge sacrifice for a family. And I started doing that, and I'm not kidding you. People started paying me $100 bills. And then I got to a point, I'm like, okay, then when I get $100 bills, I'm going to save one to give away. And I started doing that. And I don't know how much I've given away because I stopped counting. But it was the craziest, craziest thing, because you would just feel when to give one away. And I really would challenge everybody, start with a $5 bill, only do $5 bills. I don't care. Do a $10. It doesn't matter. All I know is that in my life, it changed who I was. It was like, it was amazing. So I've just learned to listen, because if you're going to give something away, and here's something you could do. This is how I started. I went and bought six bouquets of flowers because I was having a bad day. And I thought, well, if I'm having a bad day, other people are having a bad day. So I went and bought bouquets of flowers, and I got in my car and I said, God, lead me to who needs these flowers. And I sat in my car, and then I felt impressed to drive. And every single time that I drove on a road to a house, and I was impressed, this is the person who needs it. One of them I pulled up, and I was in the middle of nowhere. I'm scared to death. I'm a single woman, like whatever, you know? And I was by myself. I wasn't single, but I was by myself. And I go to this door, and I knock on this little white door, and a woman opens it up. And I said, these are for you, you know? And she just broke down and wept. She said it had been like 13 years since her husband died, and she hasn't gotten flowers since.
Wow.
And then another one, I was like, I went back into town, and then I was impressed to go to Kohl's. And as soon as I pulled in front of Kohl's, this old woman walked out with another person, and I gave her this bouquet of flowers, which was her favorite flower ever. She couldn't believe it. Like that kind of thing happened. And I would encourage all of you to try that. Just like do something for someone else. We get so out of touch with giving because we're so into taking and receiving. And I don't know, for me, it was really crazy. I don't know why I was led to share all this with you, but don't be like hunting me down. Don't be hunting me down and look for $100 bills, because I don't carry them with me all the time, guys. I'm just saying, but it really changed my life, because we get so, you know, we think we're everything, and we're just not, we're just sand, you know,
sand. Honestly, that's funny that you said that, because just recently I got scammed, right? And then, you know how when you tell people you got scammed, everybody always be like, oh, that's so upsetting. And I chose to look at it in a different light. And because I chose to look at it in a different light, it helped me to not be as upset. Like, yes, it's upsetting to be like, I didn't expect to lose that much money. But I looked at it like, you know what? Maybe they needed it more than I did. And I'm a true believer in when you do good, good come back to you. I believe that. So I'm like, even though I'm lost that now, it's going to come back to me some way, somehow. So I'm not really stressed about it losing that money, because maybe that person really did need it more than I did. Even though they went through a nasty way of getting it, maybe they truly did need it more than I did. And that alone just helped me be like, you know what? It is what it is. Money come and go at the end of the day. Like, it comes and go. You can't take it with you when you die. So like, there's no sense in being so uptight about it and losing it, because you're going to lose money and you're going to make money. Like, so it's just like, why be stressed? You just got to start looking at things a different way. And it really helps you change the way you look at life, like for real.
I'm with you, because we bought this big piece of property, but everything I've earned is in it. You know, we renovated the buildings. It's all, I mean, what am I going to do? Take it with me and leave it to my kids? I mean, I love my kids, but I'm going to use my money. I'm not going to leave it for them. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to build the center. I want to build the farm. I want to do these things. And, you know, so, and when you run out, well, then you run out and God's going to give you more. So you just sit back and wonder where it's going to come from. And boom, it's, I mean, like we get so focused on having and having and having. And if you focus on having and having and having, where's your energy going to go? You know, it's not giving, you know, and we just need to We just need to give to get.
Yes, I truly, this is honestly, I'm not just saying this, so please don't think out because I'm not a person that just says that. This is literally one of my favorite interviews I didn't did, like, because I didn't did a few, I didn't talk to a lot of people, and I always have good conversation. I love all my guests. I say to my listeners that all my guests drop gems for y'all, and y'all really need to take it in. But this is honestly one of my favorite episodes. Like, your energy is like, I'm telling you, it's so liberating, and I love it. I was meant to have this conversation with you. I don't know why.
Well, I tell you,
I was meant to have it.
I'm loving it too. It's one of my favorite because people don't go here. They want to learn about health and the body. And I love teaching about health and the body, but there's so much more than just drink more water, eat your vegetables, eat nuts and seeds, avoid this, avoid that. Like, there's so much more to life than just what you eat, you know? Yes. So much more that makes you you. That makes you you. So yeah, that's awesome.
Beautiful. So if we get into my signature closing questions, question one would be, if this conversation became a chapter in your story, what would the title be?
Relentless.
Loved it.
Relentless. And actually, we're making a documentary. I've been paying for months every week to this wonderful woman who is actually compiling an incredible amount of footage into a documentary. And we just named it a few weeks ago, Relentless.
That is beautiful.
I'm really excited. Really excited for that to come out.
Love that. So, and then the second question would be, for someone listening who may feel hopeless in their healing journey, what would you want them to remember?
The number one thing for them to remember would be that there's someone in Georgia who loves their guts. How's that sound? And there's someone in their community that does too. They really do. No one's alone. We are not alone. We've been meant to feel like we're alone. And probably the number one thing, Di, would be to get rid of fear. Eliminate fear. You got a pastor putting fear in you, you get a new pastor. You have a doctor putting fear in you, you drop him like a hawk and like a brick and you get a new doctor. Anybody who's putting fear in you, they don't belong in your life, because you will never ever heal if you're in fear. A cell at the cell level can never be in growth or fear at the same time. If it's in fear, that's right. That's what happens when we go into sympathetic state. And then our blood is, you know, rushing to our extremities, but not our brain and not our stomach, our digestion, all that reproductive, none of that's working properly. But that means a cell can't heal with that much adrenaline and that much sympathetic, those particular neurotransmitters forming. Your cells can only heal in growth mode, which is when we're in parasympathetic. So anybody putting you in fear, get them out of your life. If you're married to them, go to counseling or get them out, move out, whatever. I don't care. If you got a kid, get rid of them. Tell them to go on, get your own place, sunshine. Like, you just have to get rid of fear. You got to get rid of fear or you can never grow. So if you're on a healing journey and you're stuck, well, unstick it, honey, because you can do this, you know?
Yes. OMG.
That's probably what I would say.
That was the perfect way to end this. I love that. Yes. Yes, yay. Yes. Zuzu, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story so openly today. I think this conversation is going to resonate with so many people, especially those who are learning how to reconnect with themselves, trust their bodies again, and approach healing from a more intentional place. And to anyone listening, if this episode spoke to you in any way, make sure you share it with someone who may need this conversation too. And before we go, I do ask, is there anything you want the guests to know, anything you want to share, anything you want them to visit?
Well, I mean, we need more practitioners. So if you're interested in getting into natural health, you know, please check us out at holistichealtheducators.com. But you can get to all of the things I do at Zuzu Unleashed. A new website's going up over the next couple weeks here, but zuzuunleashed.com. That at least will take you to places. And I've got free books on there, free ebooks, and, you know, on pH and on dysautonomia and just a bunch of videos. But yeah, just help me out, because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to social media. And so I really don't. I'm just me. I'm 58 and never cared and have all these kids. And so I just run businesses my one business. But anyhow, so that's just, you know, yeah, any way I can help, we want to. And we are going to get help so we can start answering more questions that are coming in, but no matter what, just believe in yourself, because you're not alone and you are for a lot of people, we believe we're created in the image of the God, right? If we're in the image of God, well, then what's on the planet is meant for our consumption, like plants and trees, and eat more vegetables, right? Just eat more vegetables and see what happens.
Yes, 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 yes. And don't forget to follow the podcast, leave a rate and interview you, because it truly helps push these stories to more people who need it. And as I always say, no matter what page of healing you're on, you're not alone and you're not behind. Mm-hmm. Keep going through it, keep growing through it, and keep glowing through it, because the journey back to yourself will always be the hardest work, but it is the most, it's necessary. Please do it. Okay.
Yeah. I love it.
Keep surviving, keep healing, keep choosing yourself. And I will see y'all next episode.
I've battled the silence. I've wrestled the shame. Faced all my demons and called them by name. This ain't for sure. It's deeper than deep. I'm surviving these.